Hello and good evening, New York. Thank you for tuning in to the Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM here in New York and online everywhere at WNYU.org. I'm your host, Aria Young. Today, we have three exciting news stories prepared for you. First, we will hear from Liam Kahan and Michael Batavia about a delayed Omni subway fare system. Then, Christine Salazar and Bridget Rudolph will review the newly released Olivia Wilde movie, Don't Worry, Darling. And finally, you will hear from Ruby Rowan about how NYU students are balancing school and leisure activities like going to a Harry Styles concert. So before we start on the stories, I want to introduce a new segment of the show to you, a fun little add-on that I thought might be interesting to you. I'm going to call this This Day in History. So at the end of every episode, I will tell you, our listeners, a significant event that happened on this day in history. So if you want to know what happened on September 28th in 1640, say, you better stay tuned to the end of our episode today. So without further ado, our first piece is about Omni. That is O-M-N-Y, a digital new way to pay for all transit fares in New York. That has been a long time coming. But for some reason, the rollout still isn't fully completed yet. And Liam Kahan and Michael Batavia have the story.
For WNYU 89.1 FM, I'm Michael Batavia.
And I'm Liam Kahan.
Great news! You can now tap and go with Omni to board this bus.
In 2019, the MTA announced a new digital way to pay for all transit fares in New York City via a service called Omni. In an effort to modernize payment, similar to how the MetroCard replaced subway tokens in 2003, Omni allows any user to tap their credit or debit card to enter the transit system without having to reload or buy a MetroCard. The slogan of the service is, just tap and go. And in the near future, that's all you'll be doing, as the MTA plans to eliminate the beloved MetroCard and replace it with Omni cards, akin to reloadable gift cards, in 2023. But not yet. If you're an NYU commuter student, or even if you've traveled on the subway to get between Washington Square and Brooklyn, you've likely only noticed the Omni fare gates on the turnstiles and no real mention of Omni except the ads on some of the subway cars. That's because Omni is behind schedule. What was originally planned in 2021 and 2022 for a massive rollout of expanded fare options with reduced and student fare cards, the installation of hundreds of Omni vending machines, and the use of Omni on the Metro North and Long Island Railroad commuter railroads has been greatly postponed. According to a report earlier this year, the project has ballooned in its budget from $591 million to $772 million and is 15 months behind schedule. Instead of its expected completion in 2023, full Omni installation in New York City subway and buses will finish in 2024, and its installation in commuter railroads will be finished 6 months later. Despite this, the plan to make Omni the definitive fare system in New York City is still in a delayed state of progress. While you can use Omni on all New York City subways and buses, there is no current support for the system on the Westchester B Line bus service, Nassau County's NICE bus system, the PATH train, or the Roosevelt Island tram. This means that if you want support to transit within the greater tri-state area, you're better off sticking with a MetroCard.
Furthermore, many New Yorkers are generally apprehensive about the technology. With the implementation of Omni, the MTA will now have real-time information regarding who is entering and exiting the system and will be able to use this information to track suspicious individuals. Here's what Albert Fox Kahn, the executive director of the Civil Rights and Privacy Group's Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, had to say on the issue.
There's so much risk for abuse, whether it's tracking New Yorkers for their political beliefs, tracking them for their religion, or tracking anyone else who falls into disfavor.
Granted, this isn't new. The MTA has been collaborating with the NYPD and other crime agencies for years by providing them with MetroCard data to resolve alibis and solve cases. Yet, a police source that spoke to Fox 5 New York 2 weeks ago said that this real-time data might not even be helpful in some cases. Many instances of transit crimes occur with the criminal just jumping the turnstiles and not paying to enter. Omni doesn't do that. Some are also concerned about the safety of their data when they use Omni and who it goes to. The MTA has assured passengers that no private information is disclosed during the payment process and that there is no selling of any of the information to third parties. Even though the complete rollout of Omni is far away, with MetroCards remaining as the major de facto form of payment for now, it is still present at fare gates all around New York City for those who just want to tap and get on their way. And if there's any person who doesn't want to wait for the doors to close, it's a New Yorker.
For WNYU 89.1 FM, this has been Michael Batavia.
And Liam Kahan.
Thank you, Liam and Michael. Next up, in entertainment news, singer Harry Styles has been performing at concerts in New York, and NYU students are taking time out of their busy schedule to see the star. Ruby Rowan has the story.
For WNYU 89.1 FM, this is Ruby Rowan. What you just heard was a snippet of Harry Styles' sold-out final show in Madison Square Garden. As it is widely known, the Harry Styles concerts are a safe space for creative costumes, beautiful boas, and funny posters. Every arena he performs at is filled with people singing some of his most catchy hits, like As It Was and Adore You, with guests dancing to the beat. In New York City, Harry Styles has just wrapped up his 15-day residency at Madison Square Garden, making every night a fun-filled, colorful extravaganza. In the final moments of the last concert, Harry Styles received a special banner honoring his 15 sold-out consecutive days. Presented by Gayle King, Styles is only the third person to receive this honor behind Billy Joel and Phish, according to People magazine. To show support towards the singer, people took to different social media platforms, revealing the outfits they had planned for months, their lucky pit positions, and all the new people they met at the concert. However, with the end of this residency also comes the beginning of the NYU school year. As the fall semester began to pick up, Styles still had numerous shows to complete. Tons of NYU students were in attendance at his shows due to their love for the singer and the convenience of just being up the A train. With the start of the school year also comes the workload that is beginning to pile up quickly. I got in touch with Abby Stoichik Espinez, a Cass sophomore who went to the Harry Styles show on Thursday, September 15th at 8 p.m. I spoke to Abby about her average week.
Okay, so Mondays and Wednesdays are pretty relaxed. I have classes from 11 to 12:15 and then 12:30 to 1:45. Tuesdays and Thursdays are my most hectic days. I have 3 classes both days, and every Thursday I have class from 9:30 to 10:45 and then 3:30 to 4:45 and then 4:45 to 6:10. So for the Harry Styles concert, I had to like run home super quick because my class was at the 65th Ave location for NYU. So it's like 20 minutes away from where I live. So I was just running all over town on Thursday.
Abby is an English major, thinking about either journalism or creative writing concentration.
As an English major, a lot of our work consists of reading and then also writing, but since it's kind of the beginning of the semester, it's been very reading heavy, so I was cramming like a couple hundred pages on Wednesday to get ready for the concert.
After a brief rundown, I was winded by the number of activities she participates in on a weekly basis. On top of school, she is a member of Zeta Tau Alpha, where they meet numerous times throughout the week as well. I asked Abby specifically what she did to prepare herself for the carefree evening that was ahead of her.
The day of the concert, I pretty much, like, my little break in the middle of the day, I used that to get any homework done that I had for Friday, and then I just used Friday morning the next day to kind of catch up on everything that I had missed on Thursday.
I also asked for her opinion on balancing academics and social life for any other students who may be considering going out on a school night.
I think time management is your best friend. I always kind of set myself up where Monday through Wednesday, those are all really heavy work days. So I wake up before class and I do homework and I'm just consistently working on things so that when Thursday and Friday rolls around, I have a little bit more leeway to go out during the nighttime. And then my weekends feel a lot more manageable where it's only a couple hours of work to do.
Of course, before the interview was over, I had to ask the most crucial question, which of course was in relation to her boa color and favorite song performed by Styles.
Hey, I was sharing a white boa with this guy that I met there, and then my favorite song from the concert was probably Keep Driving, but I'm a huge stan for As It Was.
In the end, through Abby's experience, it seems like it would be worth it. Do you think you could handle it? For WNYU 89.1 FM, this has been Ruby Roan.
That was a great piece by Rue. And speaking of Harry Styles, he, funny enough, also recently starred in Olivia Wilde's new movie, Don't Worry, Darling. The movie has received lots of varying comments since even before its release. So what do NYU students think of the movie and its controversies? Bridget Rudolph and Christine Salazar have the story.
From WNYU 89.1 FM, I'm Christine Salazar.
And I'm Bridget Rudolph.
Whether you just saw the trailers or been following all the behind-the-scenes drama online, you've no doubt heard of Olivia Wilde's new movie, Don't Worry, Darling. As of September 23rd, the horror mystery thriller hit theaters here in the United States, and reviews on the movie have been mixed. We are left with one question. Was the movie worth the hype? Warning that the review ahead contains spoilers. The movie follows the story of 1950s suburban housewife Alice, played by Florence Pugh, and her husband Jack, played by Harry Styles, in a utopian suburban community of Victory. However, things start to go awry as Alice comes to learn that Victory is much more sinister than it seems. Alice is forced to go against the head of the Victory Project, Frank, played by Chris Pine. Alice eventually discovers that Victory is a simulation, and everything around them is a made-up reality, made by the town's men to live within their perfectly controlled world.
Praise for the actors, especially Florence Pugh and Chris Pine on their performances as Alice and Frank respectively, seems to be high across the board with viewers, as well as reviews for the score and cinematography of the picture. The plot and messaging of the film have left fans a little more divided. Many fans online argue that the twist ending of Victory being a simulation and that all of the men were in on it was rushed and may have even turned the story on its head. We caught some NYU students after the show to catch their opinions.
I really enjoyed the movie enough. My expectations were very low going into the film, so I was pleasantly surprised with how much I did not hate it. The twist was kind of predictable. You knew it was fake.
I didn't like the movie because I felt like it was a little bit too blunt to my liking. The whole plot and the message and the way that message was conveyed felt a little bit off to me. Again, the whole rushed ending bugs me a huge deal because I can see the potential and I can see how this movie could have been way better and way more interesting.
The twist reveal of Victory being a simulation seems to leave a bitter taste in most fans' mouths. It appears to take away from the weight of the story, despite the heavy themes present in the film. This leads us to the second major controversy of the film, the theme and how it was presented. Olivia Wilde is known for her strong feminist views and made it clear from the start that this film was a critique of controlling men, specifically trying to assert control over their wives. While most people tend to agree that the message of the film was presented poorly, the film was overall an exciting ride.
For WNYU,
that was all for our stories tonight. If you're still listening, congratulations. You now get to hear a historical fun fact and you also get a gold star. So on this day in 1968, Beatles' Hey Jude single goes number one and stays number one for 9 weeks. I hope that was a fun enough fact for you all. And on that note, that's all for the rundown tonight. If you liked what you heard or want to hear something different, or if you want to submit a tip for a story, you can email me at associatenews@wnyu.org. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I will be here next Wednesday, 7 p.m. to bring you more local alternative news. I'm Aria Young, and this has been the Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM.